been the basis of most Western society's legal systems for millennium. Let's review those tonight. So what's the first commandment? Say it loud. No other gods. Okay. And the second commandment? No graven image. Remember, the Catholic Church has removed that one from their catechism and take the 10th one and turned it into 2, just so there would be 10. The third one? God's name. Don't take his name in vain. And the fourth one, which is God's sign between himself and Israel, is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember, 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament, but the fourth one is not, for good reason, although it looks like we will be following it in the kingdom, since the kingdom is Jewish. But anyway, 5, the only one with promise, honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. Then 6, don't kill. 7, adultery. 8, steal. Don't steal. 9, was shortening it a bit much there. 9 was, false witness. And 10, don't covet. So God covered such a huge part of our lives in just those 10 commandments, didn't he? What a blessing that was. And then last week we saw in the beginning of this chapter here in chapter 22, that very interesting topic of restitution, which we just don't hear about these days. And we saw the example from that little short man named Zacchaeus and how he promised that he would practice restitution. And then Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. And how sometimes it's more than just saying, I'm sorry. Sometimes we need to go further, don't we? And actually attempt to make restitution when we have wronged someone, especially like he talked about property disputes, stealing, burning someone's house down, those sorts of things. Restitution. And then later on here in the chapter tonight, another interesting concept here in verses 21 to 24, and that is the stranger and the fatherless and the widow. So let's look at those tonight. Verse 21, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry it all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. So tonight we focus on the widow or the fatherless child. Let's pray. Lord, as we look into your word, I pray you will teach us. I pray the Holy Spirit would guide us in truth. And Lord, we would listen and learn and be responsive to the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus Christ would be magnified. We are grateful for this privilege and pray for your will in our lives now. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So let's first talk about the stranger. The stranger. Notice what God says about the stranger. Don't vex him or oppress him. And then he reminds them, do you not remember that for 400 years you were strangers in Egypt? Now think about this. 1,500 years later, Jesus comes to the scene. And what's the Jews' attitude towards the stranger? They hated them. They wouldn't associate with them. They referred to the Gentiles as dogs. They looked down on them. And Jesus Christ, when he first sent the disciples out, yes, it was a very Jewish situation. But then later, what did he tell his disciples? To only go to the Jews? No. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And now here we are 2,000 years after that. And what is a Christian's attitude oftentimes toward the stranger? It should be one of compassion and love. Amen. Jesus Christ, when he looked at the multitudes, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And what did he see them? As sheep having no shepherd. And we, like the Jews, need to stop and remember where we came from. We were lost. We were on our way to hell. Praise God, we are saved, but many aren't. And our attitude must always be that they need Jesus, we need to love them, and we need to share the gospel with them. It should never be the way we want to vex them, or we want to oppress them, or we look down on them. They're just sinners that need Jesus, amen? We're sinners saved by grace, they're sinners that need Christ. And so even when we get to the New Testament, let's look at some verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, God talks about how we started as strangers. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. And hallelujah, we are not anymore. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, that's something to get excited about. Hallelujah. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're fellow citizens with the saints. But there are literally billions of people that cannot say this. So we have a responsibility to never look down on them, to never have this attitude that we're superior to them. We need to reach out to them. And if we were to take a poll tonight and ask how many people are here because someone cared, someone shared the gospel with me, someone invited me to church, we'd find that most hands would be raised. That the people don't just wander into church out of nowhere. They don't just hear the gospel by chance, but someone cared. Amen? Now there's the odd one, but typically it's because someone cared about the stranger. And you know, God has this interesting verse in Hebrews 13. Let's just turn there quickly. And it's one of those verses that we won't completely understand till we get to heaven. We're all familiar with it, but it's a very interesting verse, isn't it? And God, I think, is essentially telling us, be careful because I might just send an angel along to test you. Think about that. That's what he says, verse 2, Hebrews 13. Be not forgetful to entertain who? Strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. This is a New Testament verse. And yes, we read about angels in the Old Testament appearing, always appearing as men. People didn't know they were angels, often until they revealed it. But won't we be sad if we get to the judgment seat of Christ and find out that we didn't take an opportunity to help an actual angel? Something to super ponder, isn't it? And then 3 John chapter 1, well, pick your chapter, but 3 John and verse 5, as John is writing, remember the theme of these three epistles is love. We don't talk much about the second and the third, but as he's writing to this church here in 3 John, look what he says in verse 5, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. In other words, and John's epistle is all about love, isn't it? Love for one another. But he says, not just to the brethren and to strangers. So sometimes we just need to be reminded as we're in the Word, as we're on our knees, God wants us to love the lost like He does. God wants us to see them like He does. And not to have the attitude that the Jews had, that they were superior in some way because they were God's people. So the stranger, never vex, never oppress, but love and reach out to. But my focus tonight is more on those next three verses here in Exodus 22, and that is the widow and the fatherless. When you begin to look these things up, it's amazing what a special place God has in His heart for the widows and the fatherless. How often He mentions them, and we're not going to look at all the verses, it would take too long. But the widow and the fatherless, over and over again He mentions them. Let's look at some examples, Deuteronomy 14, 29. And again, like I say, this is just a sampling of God mentioning the widows and the fatherless. So Deuteronomy chapter 14, look down in verse 29. And the Levite, because he hath no partner or inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand, which thou doest. He's talking a bit here about the leftovers in the fields. He says, if the widow and the fatherless show up to take some of the gleanings, don't stop them. Let them have it. God specifically mentions it. And then in Deuteronomy 24, let's turn there, verse 19. Same thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. These are just samples, but over and over again. Remember, there was no socialism in Bible days. If you didn't work, if your husband was dead, you were in trouble if you didn't have family to take care of you. You could beg, or you could hope that people would obey Scripture and leave leftovers and not hit the olive branches twice, but just hit them once and leave some olives behind, leave some crops behind so that the widow, the fatherless, and the stranger could come along and, thank you, I needed some food. And that was how it worked. Here in Psalm 68, turn there quickly, David, again, talking about our great God. And look how he refers to God here in Psalm 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless, Psalm 68, 5, and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. So in exalting the Lord God, David refers to God as the father of the fatherless. You know, we often talk about how God knows everything about us. He knows how many hairs on our head or not, some of you. He knows about the sparrows. He knows everything. He keeps track. That's what it's telling us, isn't it? He knows who the fatherless are. He knows who the widows are. And he keeps track. And then one more, Psalm 146, 9. Then we'll dive into the New Testament. The Bible says, Psalm 146, 9, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. We get to the New Testament. God does amazing things in Jerusalem. The first church is established. Thousands of people are getting saved. And what's the first complaint or conflict? It's about widows. And that's when the first deacons are chosen. Seven deacons are chosen. What's their number one responsibility? Make sure that these widows get the food that they need to survive. Isn't that something? Remember, the church quickly got into the thousands. And some of them were widows who didn't have family to take care of them. Then we get to the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy 5. Let's turn there, verse 3. And 1 Timothy is not a huge book. It's only got six chapters. But God takes the majority of 1 Timothy chapter 5 to give the church direction. Again, this is assuming there was no socialistic system to take care of the widow. But assuming that the church would do so, God gives guidelines. If the church is going to take care of the widow, here are the guidelines for the widow. And we don't have time to go through it in detail. But in verse 4, if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home. So, number one, she doesn't have sons or nephews to take care of her. So that's the first criteria, which is mentioned in verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged. So that was God's plan, that if she had sons or nephews, they were to take care of her. Then verse 5, she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God, continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. A widow who loves the Lord. So that's another criteria. Verse 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So she doesn't live in pleasure, but she is serving God with her life. And then verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 70 years. So she has to be 70 or more, having been the wife of one man. So God was very particular, wasn't he, in this passage? And this is New Testament doctrine for the local church that needs to take care of the widows who meet these criteria. Verse 10, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she diligently followed every good work. God didn't want this abused, and so he gave some very specific criteria for the church to take care of the widows who are widows indeed, widows who meet these criteria. So God has a special place in his heart for the widows, and if you go to James chapter 1, verse 27, the fatherless. I was just talking to Roy this week, and he and the guys need to get back out into Ford Block with promotional flyers and start rounding up more fatherless children. There's plenty of them in Ford Block. Amen, brother? You say, well, their father's probably still alive. Yeah, but he's not around. Yeah, they might have a physical father who's somewhere, but he's not there raising them. And they have a special place in God's heart, and we need to be reaching out to them specifically to the best of our ability. And notice what God says, James 1:27. What a beautiful verse. Pure religion. And people use this word religion so often. So God's now going to give it to us. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Wow, look at that. Pure religion. And of course, to keep himself unspotted from the world. But in talking about pure religion, who does God bring up? But the very ones we see here in Exodus 22, the fatherless and the widows. So it's something we can all take on board, isn't it? God really spoke to me this week that we really need to think more about the fatherless. There are so many that we need to reach out to. We need to round up, share the Word of God with. They can take it home, and then it gives us an opportunity to talk to the mother or the parents. But I wouldn't even want to guess how many are fatherless in our little city. But there are plenty, and we need to care, because God cares. You know, he could have had a longer list when he spoke to Israel here, but he never did. It was over and over again, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. So we have our work cut out for us, don't we? Anybody live next door to a stranger? You don't have to raise your hand. An unsaved person, in other words? Anybody work with a stranger? Anybody know some fatherless children? We have a lot to do for Jesus, amen? Because God finished there in verse 24 and said, my wrath shall wax hot. If you don't show compassion toward the fatherless and the stranger and the widows, my wrath, I'm keeping track. And I'm not going to be happy. My wrath shall wax hot. And you know what I'm going to do to you, Israel? If you neglect the fatherless, if you neglect the stranger, if you neglect the widow, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fill you with widows and fatherless children. That's what he says, isn't it? If you won't care about the widows and the fatherless, I'm going to give you widows and fatherless. And what do we see happen to Israel during the time of the judges? That's exactly what happened. The men losing battle after battle after battle, leaving their families fatherless, leaving their wives as widows. God cares, and we need to care about the fatherless and the widows. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for convicting us tonight about this very specific area. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just assent in our minds, but we would agree in our hearts that we need to do more. We need to be on the lookout for those whom you care about specifically and that you mention, especially in James, the fatherless and the widows. Lord, may we practice that pure religion that you talked about. And I pray that the result would be great things. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, and we love you in Christ's name.